From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Thousands of Juneau residents will be in limbo as of tomorrow as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, called SNAP or food stamps, remains caught in a political battle between Congress, the Trump administration, and federal courts. As the government shutdown continues, the Trump administration announced earlier this month that it would not be using contingency funds to allow SNAP payments to continue. Today, federal judges ruled that the administration must continue payments, either partially or in full. But benefits are unlikely to be distributed tomorrow as scheduled, and it remains unclear when and how much of the expected funds will go out to American families. That leaves as many as 2,000 SNAP recipients in Juneau without the means to buy food. Former Juneau Assembly member Michelle Hale wrote an op-ed for the Juneau Independent about the SNAP cutoff last week. She says the federal back and forth takes an emotional toll on the people she knows that use food stamps.
What for me is really unforgivable is my elderly friends or this woman that I met yesterday, how frightening this is for them and how unnecessary it is to put them through this fear.
Dan Parks leads the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. He says that even before SNAP was threatened, the demand for food support grew a lot this year. It nearly doubled. He says they're as prepared as they can be to help meet the gap in food services, but it's not possible to fully meet it. Feeding America, the National Food Bank Network, says that for every meal food banks provide, SNAP provides 9.
We can't increase that much that fast. Nobody can. No food bank is going to be prepared to meet that kind of gap.
Normally, the demand is greater at the end of the month, when people run out of SNAP benefits, and then it eases up again in the next month. But he's expecting it will only increase until people receive their payments. But there are ways community members can help in the meantime.
We're watching. We are responding. We aren't panicking, but we are trying to make it known to everybody that wants to help that there's lots of things that you can do. You can donate time, you can donate food, you can donate money.
Parks says people who want to help should reach out to local groups to see what's being done and how they can help. He also says they can contact the food bank's member organizations, St. Vincent de Paul, and several local churches who distribute food throughout the week and often need more volunteers. Parks says until benefits are restored, Juneau's food support network will keep doing whatever it can to put food on tables. And Juneau schools are finding ways to support students and families in the midst of the government shutdown and the anticipated delays in food benefits. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports.
As the federal government shutdown stretches into its second month, federal workers remain furloughed. Now, SNAP benefits are also likely delayed for November. Given that uncertainty, the Juneau School District is working to make sure students stay fed. Elizabeth Seitz is the district's food service supervisor. She says the district is reaching out to families to apply for free and reduced-price school meals.
We want to make sure that the Juneau School District students have nutritious and balanced meals so that they can focus and learn and thrive.
Qualifying students will be able to receive those benefits for the rest of the school year. Seitz says there are paper applications available at schools. Families can also apply online at the district's website.
Families who have never done an online application, they would just need their student's ID number to establish an account to set that up.
Seitz says her office can process applications as soon as they receive them, and qualifying students can receive the benefits as soon as the same day. SNAP recipients also automatically qualify for free and reduced lunch, which Seitz says they will continue to receive regardless of the federal delays to SNAP benefits. Individual schools are also stepping up to keep students fed. On a Thursday evening, families and teachers at Juneau's Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy program danced and sang to Kusuwa'e as Nakaklan Hans Chester, the school's biliteracy specialist, called out different clan names. When families heard their father's clan called out, they danced up to a blanket draped over a table and placed cash donations on it. Chester says a dance group from the Klukahadi clan used the song in the 1960s as a way to raise money.
Kusuwa'e is a Klukahadi song. It was brought down to the coast by a man named Ak Aish. He was one of their ancestors, and he would go up into the interior to trade. And one of the things that he would trade for are songs, and he brought a lot of different songs down to the coast.
The event was meant to be a family night, but at the last minute, the teachers added a fundraiser to pay for snacks for all students during the school day. Chester says the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska typically pays for snacks, but the money didn't come through, and the school started pulling funds from its activities budget to pay for snacks. Chester says he feels grateful to families for stepping up and making sure students are fed during the day.
It'll help alleviate some of the pressure we as staff feel, because it is just a basic need that we're trying to meet.
TCLL isn't the only school stepping up to support students. Deborah Cordero is the community school's coordinator for Kahtaguhin Elementary. She says the school receives a grant that allows them to provide more resources to families, like getting students clothes or connecting them to food pantries.
When that comes, like, I'm able to help transport people or take them to food banks and things like that. So as the need arises, we do have some things in place that we can do for families.
David Villarreal is a counselor at Kahtaguhin. He says the school is one of several in the district that receive weekend food bags from Gastineau Human Services. Students who are signed up can get bags of food they can eat through the weekend. As a counselor, he says he's being proactive in reaching out to make sure families are getting the resources they need. But he says it's not just about making sure children's physical needs are met.
I'm kind of like expecting, you know, just more emotional strain from students in the coming weeks. As this sort of plays out, because we don't know what's going to really happen.
He says he's keeping his classroom open for students to come in and process their emotions as needed. Both Kahtaguhin and Thunder Mountain Middle School are holding food drives in November, and counselors at the schools are ready to help students who need it. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced last night that it will pay the full cost to extend and repair Juneau's temporary levee, meant to protect almost all the Mendenhall Valley neighborhoods from glacial outburst floods in the near term. And it will expedite its process to choose a long-term solution that will protect the entire valley. KTOO's Alex Solomon has the story.
The existing temporary levee is made of HESCO barriers, steel and mesh baskets filled with sand. It protected hundreds of homes from flooding by a slim margin during the record-breaking glacial outburst flood in August. At a special Juneau Assembly meeting, members signed an agreement accepting assistance from the Army Corps to enhance the temporary levee. After signing the agreement, Mayor Beth Weldon referenced a joke Assemblymember Ella Atkinson made moments before.
The Army Corps is going to do phase two and pay for it. So we truly appreciate the assistance. And as Ms. Atkinson says, there's no take backs.
That agreement extends the levee both upstream and downstream, protecting many more homes and businesses along the Mendenhall River. Phase two will go from Backloop Bridge to just before Juneau International Airport. The city estimates the expansion will cost around $19 million to build. The agreement means the city will no longer have to debate controversial ways to pay for construction. Daryl Downing is program manager at the Seattle District of the Army Corps. He says the agency will cover HESCO design and installation, as well as armoring the banks.
What is not covered is going to be any sort of outreach the city and borough of Juneau will need to do to secure rights of entry or any permitting requirements for these efforts. Once the Corps installs these measures, they get turned over to the city and borough of Juneau for operations and maintenance and then removal as well.
The Army Corps will also help repair the existing stretch of the flood barrier, which leaked and slumped during the flood this summer, sustaining about $1 million in damage. And they'll build it higher for the next flood. The agency aims to complete that work by July 15, 2026. For reference, the glacial outburst flood has struck during the first 2 weeks of August in each of the past 3 years. And the Army Corps made another major announcement Thursday. It aims to recommend a long-term flood solution and design it by the end of May 2026. That's several years faster than the process agency staff outlined at a public meeting in July. John Rajek is the chief of the Geotechnical and Engineering Services Branch at the Alaska District of the Army Corps.
Well, we plan on developing a preliminary design of the preferred flood control alternative. We're going to prepare a planning level cost estimate that's going to help everybody understand the financial implications and basically help make informed decisions on the path forward. And then the third element is we're going to complete a draft environmental assessment of that alternative.
Those options are a dam, a permanent levee, a bypass channel along the river, a tunnel to drain Suicide Basin, or relocating buildings from the flood zone. Rajek says that in December, the Army Corps will hold a charrette, a major planning meeting with federal and local agencies, to discuss the options and pick one. Anonymous sources engaged in the agency's process told KTOO that a tunnel through Bullard Mountain to drain Suicide Basin looks like the preferred option at this point, but Army Corps staff refused to comment. the Army Corps opened a public comment period on the long-term solution, which closes at the end of next month. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
The competitive commercial Red King Crab fishery in Southeast Alaska opens tomorrow. It'll be the first of its kind in 8 years. State regulations require at least 200,000 pounds of harvestable crab to be available for a commercial opener in the region. The State Department of Fish and Game announced last month that over 211,000 pounds of crab are available this season. Red King Crab is a low-volume, high-value fishery with just about 60 permit holders in the region. Adam Messmer is a regional shellfish biologist with the state. He says this upcoming Red King Crab fishery is highly anticipated.
I know guys are getting pretty excited about it.
The state does Red King Crab stock surveys in several different bays throughout the region, which Messmer describes as historical hotspots. He says 3 of the 7 state-surveyed areas will be open for the upcoming fishery and show a lot of promise.
Seymour was very good. And Juneau has been bouncing back over the years. Gambier is on its way. It has lots of young crab coming up for the future.
And the other 4 survey areas in Southeast will remain closed to crabbing for Red Kings.
So Excursion's closed, Peril Strait's closed, St. James Bay's closed, and Pybus is closed.
But overall, 10 different areas will be open for the fishery. They're managed individually based on how much crab are available in each spot. Gambier Bay and the Juneau area will be open for just 24 hours. The other 8 crabbing areas will be open until their allowed harvest is hauled. Fishermen will be required to call in to managers daily so they can keep tabs on the fishery and close areas when their available stock gets caught. Permit holders are required to tell managers which area they plan to start in before the fishery opens. The first mandatory call-in is today. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 46 degrees and raining. We're expecting more rain this weekend with temperatures in the low 40s. You're listening to KTOO. Happy Halloween.